welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. We are back, baby. We are so back, Blaze. People might be watching on YouTube right now and wondering, why are you in a suit for a podcast that absolutely does not require a suit? And the answer to that is simply look good, feel good. And I feel good right now, baby. I don't know about you, man, but I feel really good. What a result on the weekend, mate. How are you?
I'm going pretty right, Mr. Clarky, son. That was an unbelievable one. That was an absolutely unbelievable game to be a part of. And if you guys didn't know, I'm actually currently in Fiji right now. So that's why you can see the green screen's not really working because I don't actually have a green screen behind me. But how good was that game? It was something that you need to have context to really understand how important that one was for us because, you know, a lot of teams out there, they're going to be like, wait a second, you know, one game, whoop-de-doo. The Melbourne Storm will say that. The Sydney Roosters will say that because they're used to the success. They're used to that real quality that you get on a frequent basis. For us, we just come off the absolute whoop one of our lives against the Rabbitohs and then the most embarrassing game in our history against the Tigers. And then to go and do that, what we just saw, we were expecting to get beaten by that kind of margin. A lot of people were expecting to get beaten by that margin. But like I said to you last week, Dane, it was interesting to see that from our perspective, it looked like a loss was coming. But from outside's perspective, from your other podcast, you know, people were saying, oh, there's a little bit of a nice little chance there. So I don't know, just really, really good times. You know, it's great that myself and Clarky don't have to defend the living life out of this club for 1 week and we can just kick back and relax a little bit.
And that's why I made the joke most redeemed on the wrap-up of the round that I do on my page, mate. I tell you what, the only thing that has annoyed me with this week was coming into the game, I didn't see too many people tipping the Titans, nor suggesting we'd win by even 13+, let alone
now 16. You've seen everyone?
Oh, but all of a sudden we beat the Warriors and it's just the Warriors. They're not going that well this year anyway. And all these little excuses come out. But it's like, hold on, if you knew that before the game, why not make a hell of a lot of money by betting on the Titans to win by a significant margin?
We were paying 450 to one just to win this game, let alone, buddy, by 60 points. 60 points, mate. 60.
Just remind everyone, 60 points, mate. Gee whiz.
It was literally the perfect performance, man. The only thing is if we kept them to nil. We did let him get our one try, which brought up the devil's digits, actually 666, which is a little bit freaky as well. Hey, guys, quick housekeeping point. Follow the Frontline on Instagram and join our Facebook group, both our Titans Frontline. You will see exclusive ticket giveaways in there where you can sit with us inside the Frontline and add to the atmosphere. We gave away some tickets for the Warriors game as well, and no doubt the people that won those had the time of their life in the Frontline. Please subscribe to us if you're watching on YouTube or follow on your podcast player. And with that, we'll move to our Titans news section. Only one for the casualty ward, mate, Jaden Campbell. Breaking records wasn't the only thing that he broke, unfortunately, against the Warriors. He did fracture his hand. And as a result, he will miss the round 18 game against the Sharks. We've got a bye this week, and he's hoping to return against the Eels at home, which will actually be awesome because it's his 50th NRL game. So he'll get to celebrate that at home, fresh off breaking the record. And he's also been charged with grade one dangerous contact. So he's $1,500 poorer. Sorry to hear, JC, but hopefully you got shouted that much worth of alcohol after breaking that record on a huge night after, mate, because you deserve it. That's a quick, easy one for the news, mate. There's literally nothing. So I wanted to...
Well, there is more.
There is more.
There is more, buddy. There's one more thing. Do you know what
there it is? There is one more thing. I do know what it is. We have partnered with the Manly Sea Eagles in the NRLW. Oh, so there's two more things. All right, two more things. So I'll say my one, you say your one. We've partnered with the Manly Sea Eagles, actually, because the BMD, so Women's Reserve Grade, ends in Queensland Cup before the NRLW kicks off. So typically our Titans players that aren't in our NRLW top 18 or strongest 18 wouldn't play footy. So we've actually partnered with the Manly Sea Eagles, who are in the New South Wales Cup equivalent of the NRLW, and we'll send our players there so they're still getting some match fitness. Not a bad move. I mean, keep our players fit, partner with the Manly Seagulls. I'm okay with it, mate. So that is what we'll be doing for the NRLW season. And the other bit of news that I forgot is... You go.
Do you actually know
I don't know. I've got no idea.
Firstly, listen, welcome Manly. Not a big fan of you until Cherry Evans leaves, but also welcome Manly. But secondly, it is that apparently Carter Gordon is actually being potentially allowed to come early. So him and Mark Nwanetawase from the Waratahs, he's going to the Sydney Roosters next year. Mark Nwanetawase and Kyle Gordon. Apparently, the Wallabies coach has said, hey, listen, you guys might be able to go. There's just a few things that they need to look into first. So, yeah, that's pretty good because we want him training now. You know, we want him training right now because, you know, Mark, he's like a winger. He's an outside back. But Carter Gordon, he's a spine player. So we need him practicing right now.
And actually, one more bit of news that I've will edit in here because I forgot. I'm wearing a beautiful Gold Coast Seagulls vintage tie, which I picked up from a Canberra op shop for $5. Very cool there. Also got a joke, mate. I don't know if you're going to get this one, but if you do, I'll be impressed. So I heard at the speakers last week, they asked the Warriors fans in the crowd to count how many girlfriends they've had across their life, and they all fell asleep.
I don't get it.
When your kids can't sleep, you say count sheep. One sheep, two sheep to fall asleep.
And can we please move on from this stupid segment? This is awful. This is awful.
Hey, I can make that joke because I am my family's from New Zealand, so hopefully I won't get cancelled for that one.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Play the card. Yeah. I'll play that card just to get away with that one.
This is not the week to get away with it anyway. You don't want to be from New Zealand this week. They're all hurting badly, bro. They're hurting badly.
They are, mate. Yeah, look, hopefully some of our listeners got that joke. I'll tell you what, mate, we'll do a review and a quick preview of everything Origin, as it is that time of the year with a focus around our Titans. Let's move to the under-19s Origin rep review first. So the Blues under-19s women defeated Queensland 46-4. I want to ask you, who do you think stood out for you from our Titans players in this game?
Yeah, I kind of have to go back here and have a look at I know Queensland got absolutely whooped in this one. I was live streaming it, but there wasn't really a significant standout here for me. I do think that, just to quickly go through, we had Marikina Gray was there. We also had, I think, Teresia Liasusu is also Titans.
Yep,
Maliala Sua as well. So, yeah, I don't think that it's really difficult for a player to stand out when you're down 46-4. You're losing at 46-4. And for New South Wales, I can't see anyone there who really was a part of us. I couldn't really tell you. If anyone, I would say Marikina Gray. But, yeah, unfortunately, really disappointing one there for the Queensland women's team that had most of our representatives.
I agree with you. I'm going to say Gray as well. She did go off injured in the second half, but that's because she was putting her body on the line. And she had some powerful carries, some nice offloads. I think that she could cover the edge as well because she is a lighter middle forward. But she's fast and mobile as well. So in my mind, whilst the Maroons did get thumped pretty badly and she wasn't a massive standout, just because we do have that last spot on our bench that kind of is up for grabs, I think she might have done enough to nab that in this game. So interesting to see there. When we talk about the under-19s men, the Blues also won their 14-10. We had two players in this game, Zane Harrison for the Blues and Sam Stevenson for the Maroons. Did either of them really stand out to you?
Well, Zane Harrison was actually 14th man, but he switched to the 18th man by the start of the game, so he didn't play. Zane
That's
Harrison
didn't
get to play,
him.
Unfortunately. Yeah. You wouldn't notice him, buddy. He's going to come flying, son. But yes, Zane Harrison didn't play. Sam Stevenson obviously did. Nearly scored the first try of the game as well, actually, Sammy Stevenson. I thought he was pretty decent for the most part, and I think that was a really a top-tier standard of under-19s football that obviously New South Wales won 14-10. I thought that Sammy Stevenson really put in the shift, and he didn't end up scoring a try, but like I said, he nearly did with the first one, but I think it got chalked off for a poor pass or something like that. Some really good talent there, and unfortunately Queensland lost, but would have loved to have seen Zane Harrison play, but he's only 18, so next year he'll obviously play again.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Sam Stevenson, he played well enough, but I just think there were some other more eye-catching performances in that game. It was a high-quality game, but the players that did have the NRL experience, you could kind of see they were a little bit of a class ahead, most notably Chevy Stewart. So I think players like that did steal the show. All right, mate, it is Origin week as well. We've got one representative in Origin Game 2 at the MCG. It is Moeki Fodawaker. What are you expecting?
Big Moe, mate.
What are you expecting from the big fella in his second Origin game this year?
Yeah, look, I was showing my support. Unfortunately, Mr. Sam Jenkinson was throwing insults Moe's way. Sam is a New South Wales fan. And after the game, we had a lovely time. Beautiful 66-6 win. We're at the back. I'm saying, get around your mowie. Big game on Wednesday. And you've got this clown, this absolute New South Wales clown, just giving it to him. Obviously, guys, we're joking, by the way. It's empty bloke. But, yeah, look, mowie. Yeah, no, we're not joking. We're not. And I know he's listening, too. You suck, Sam. You suck. But, you know, who doesn't suck? And that's mowie Fotuaika. And that's enough emphasis to the fact that he wasn't playing for us on the weekend, guys, because he is playing in Origin. And yeah, look, I'm really excited to see what Maui can do. This is going to be a really tough one down there at the MCG. The last time Queensland won at the MCG was 1995, which was 1 year after I was born, and I think 2 years before you were born, yes?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, correct, so yeah. That's a long time. That's a long time, man. So yeah, Queensland don't have a good record down there. We have a good record in Adelaide, not in Perth. Good record in New South Wales, time to go that one, and then obviously in Queensland. So, yeah, look, Maui's going to have to do a mountain of work. It's not going to be as easy this time around. There shouldn't be a send-off in the first 7 minutes. But I still back him in to have a big game, and I think he's going to be needed more to have a big game.
I agree, Matt. I think he'll actually build on his first Origin game this year because there won't be that send-off. So I think it will be more of a middle battle. You know, the Blues have really strong back three. And the Maroons, when you look at their bench, really, he is the only running forward that's going to bring an injection of energy into this game. I don't think Kafusi's going to do it or Capewell. So there actually is a lot on Mo's shoulders here. I think he's a little bit fresher than game one leading in. And I just think game one didn't really suit his true strengths. He came on and did the job that was required perfectly. That was defending a really hungry Blues side that was coming hard with 12 men. But Mo at his best is building momentum through the middle. And I think you'll have more of an opportunity this time around. So really excited for that. Women's State of Origin decider. That's the next night on Thursday. For the Blues, we've got Jamie Chapman and Talia Fuimeano. What are you hoping to see from either of those women in this one?
Man, obviously I would love to see both Chapo and Talia do fantastic, right? Because they are Titans. But at the end of the day, I'm also Queenslander. So I know how good Jamie Chapman is. She is probably the most informed player in the entirety of the game. She is incredible, Chapo. I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does here for the Titans this season. She loves the Gold Coast, absolutely loves it. So to change the emphasis around, I would prefer them to hold off their quality performances because this is the do or die game here inside of Origin. We are going to game three. I think that it would have been New South Wales would have won the series if we actually still had that two-game series, which we were up until last year, because New South Wales won the first game by 8, I think it was, and Queensland won the next game by 1. So, anyway, point of the matter is that Chapo Fuimeano, love you girls, but no, settle it down, hold it off this week, please, but we do know the quality they possess.
I actually do want to see, and this is speaking from just a Titans perspective, not an Origin perspective, I do want to see the Blues use Fui a little bit more. I think they gave her like 7 minutes in game two. She is a genuine attacking weapon and someone that you can bring on in that 13 role or need to replace someone at center 5/8. She is your woman there. And as for Jamie Chapman, I actually think she looked a little bit injured last game. She wasn't at her normal pace. Limping at times, and also the wet conditions meant the Blues were really limited as to when they could shift that ball wide. Well,
I would agree with you there. I would say the reason why you probably, I think we said this after the game two when we did our podcast, is that the back line could never do anything in that game. It was so wet that it was literally pouring down the entire time. And I'm glad that the Gold Coast has been actually quite free from rain this year because New South Wales, Sydney and Newcastle have been bucketed down for a long part of the season, which is crazy. But yeah, I do think that Chapo was limited based off of that wet weather. And I think Talia was on the bench for the first part, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was for most of that game. So hopefully some more minutes for Fui and hopefully, because I am a Maroons fan, but I do think we will see Chapman score a try. And from a Titans perspective, I hope she does to keep that hot form up before we head into the NRLW season. As far as the Maroons go, mate, we've got 4 reps there. Vania Politi, Shannon Marto, Jessica Elliston, and Lauren Brown. Of that bunch there, who are you expecting to stand up and have the best game?
Well, Shannon Marto, I believe, won the player of the game, the correct. Best player in the game for game two. We just need to see no hair pulling this time around, Shannon. but with that being said, she was fantastic. We know what Chanamato and Jessica Ellis can both do. Obviously, Lauren Brown was unreal. She actually won the game for Queensland in the end with the field goal and just with the way she was playing with the back end. And Evani Polici is so strong. But I think that if I'm going to look towards, because Polici usually plays pullback for us, but centres slash wing, and it's at Queensland level, because Tamika Upton is the best player in the game, Dally M winner last year. I think that if we're looking for someone to have a big one, it's going to be between... Oh, I'm going to go Lauren Brown again. I'm going to say Lauren Brown again. I think she's a really underrated player. I think that when we picked her up, it took a little bit of time to get used to the Gold Coast system. And now under Karen Murphy, I think she's really, really crushing it. And that showed when she was a big impact in game one loss when she came on. And then in game two, obviously won the game there with Queensland. So I think she's a severely underrated player in the NRLW, and Lauren Brown for Big Dub.
I honestly couldn't single out one of our players, man. Like, I think Polite needs some early ball. She's integral to her scoring points as she breaks tackles, gets that quick play of the ball. And then I'm just so proud that the entire state's front row, both props and hooker, is Titans. And I do think that between Elliston, Marto and Brown, if they
is
all play...
Is Lauren nine?
Yeah, she's at nine for this game. Okay. Destiny Brill got ruled out with injury, so they'll put Brandon. She was named at centre last game, mate. I think she came off the bench, and they've moved her around this series.
So but, she was, she was centre last game, but then she came on, I think it's, oh, she started the game in halfback, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think she started in halfback, but yeah, a little bit all over the shot there, but we know she'll float and she'll run and she'll do what she needs to do.
100%. She can play halves and hooker, and she can transition between the two seamlessly. I do believe that those three players are good enough, genuinely, from what I saw at the Titans NRLW last year, that if they have 8 out of 10 performances, the Maroons can win this game and probably will win this game, if I'm honest. If all three of them step up, we get the 150 metres from Jess that she's capable of, 180 plus from Shannon, and the multiple try assists by Loz. We saw three in the NRLW grand final. Maroons can win this game, man, so... I'm certainly hoping our girls are up to it in that one. All right, this will be everyone's favorite segment this week. A bit of a shorter podcast because we don't have to preview a game, but we're going to recap our win against the Warriors. We defeat the New Zealand Warriors 66 points to 6. And I just want to add to how special this win was, because it is our club record for our highest ever points scored and our highest ever winning margin in history. Jaden Campbell also broke individual records for the most ever points scored in an individual game by a Titan, and he also broke the most ever goals kicked. Alofiana Khan Pereira scored his first hat trick and then made it 4 tries, and we were missing Tino, our captain, Moeki Fotuaika, our only rep player, Brimson, an Origin rep level player, and when you talk missing Mo and Tino, you probably want to say, well, who have the next two best forwards been this year? And a lot of people would agree it's Jamin Jolliffe and Cleese Haas.
Big Jimmy.
They were both out as well. Plus more injuries. That's literally just the injuries I'm mentioning there. There are more. On paper and on form, we had no right to win this game, let alone shatter club records. So this was extremely special watching at home, mate. But I got to ask you, how was that stadium atmosphere?
Mate, that was it. That was something that, and I don't want to make you feel jealous, and I don't want to make any Titans fan who couldn't get there feel bad that they weren't there, but it is just something that you had to be there to experience. I just want to stand, to everybody there, that's not saying that just because you weren't there doesn't mean you're not a part of it. It's hard to explain the sheer disbelief in what was happening at that stadium, because you had a lot of Warriors fans there, and I'm talking a lot, like 15, 16K, maybe 17K, and there was 22,500 in attendance. So the large majority, and I got messages and posts and stuff saying, oh, we're going to teach these guys a lesson in how to build an atmosphere. That was fantastic to watch. Really, really good to see your atmosphere there. You were leaving the stadium with 30 minutes ago. 30, whenever Lofty scored that intercept, Warriors fans were out of there. But yeah, look, I thought that it was just sheer disbelief for the large majority of this game, because we kind of started taking away from the 10th minute mark. It wasn't just like a late on game explosion. We consistently played this entire 80 throughout and dominated from the outset. It was something we've never seen before in Titans history. And, you know, I was so happy. If you guys have watched the vlog, if you haven't watched the vlog yet, I suggest doing it, because it is a crazy, crazy vlog. But it was just like to see the happy faces around our stadium and to see, you know, all the flags. Whoever came up with the idea to bring out and give free flags, everybody, the little flags, everyone, was fantastic because that was awesome to see all the little flags waving whenever we score. And people got amongst it. Luckily, the club also gave us some microphones and put it in front of the front line to make it even louder across the stadium, which definitely worked. And yeah, it was just the atmosphere was surreal. And that's not even talking about the actual game, really. It's just the atmosphere was something of disbelief that I can't explain to its fullest extent. You had to be there.
Well, I've actually got a little bit of a controversial take for this game. Let me know what you think. But hear me out in full, because my first sentence is going to sound ridiculous. Our performance this week compared to that of last week was not too dissimilar. Very controversial.
He's talking about Tigers game. Just to clarify for everybody, he's talking about Tigers game.
For the Tigers game. Now, in that Tigers game, we had 9 line breaks. The difference was we did not ice one of those opportunities or chances. And I feel like that made us freak out a little bit. And it was kind of, instead of let's stick to this game plan, it was, oh my God, we've missed out on so many points here. We've got to chase them. We've got to get them back. And that led to so many errors. It wasn't funny. Believe me, it wasn't funny. This round, we had 12 line breaks. So fair enough. We had 3 more line breaks this round. But we won by 60. And last week, we lost by 8. Now, I just think no footy fan can tell me on surface level that an extra 3 line breaks equals a 68-point swing difference in our favour. I think stronger opposition on the ladder. I think the difference this time was our execution. We were very precise. We completed an 87% completion rate, and we didn't put ourselves under pressure. Most importantly, though, we iced our opportunities. And that's where that was the main difference between last week and this week. And I know it's controversial, and most people probably won't agree with me. Do you agree with me that they weren't too dissimilar?
Yeah, no, I was going to jump in before you move on to the next point, is that they were the exact same. And I was speaking about this with – I even spoke about this with Desi after the game.
Nice.
And a few of the boys and whatnot. And it was like, we all have the exact same opinion that we should have flogged the Tigers. Like we, and this is why – this is why I say context matters, right? Because people go, oh, you lost one game. I know it's the Tigers, it's embarrassing, but, you know, you shouldn't be acting too over the top. It's like you don't really get it. There is so much context that goes into it and so deep-rooted issues that we had at that time. And hindsight's a great thing, guys. You know, we're going to give you a harsh reality soon and say, like, look, we've got to still keep our feet really dead set, rooted to the ground here. It was one game, but also don't lose the energy and keep that firm energy. But, yeah, it was the exact same. Exact same points, man. It's just that we – and to go over one of your points you just said, something that we left, it made us freak out and feel like we left points out there. There was a moment I brought up to you last week and I said, when we passed the ball out right, we dropped the ball, but it went backwards. And then it seems like at that point, the boys freaked out as they kept going down that right-hand side. They freaked out and then slowed it down from there. So it goes into what you're saying there, is that when they freaked out because they weren't icing all the opportunities, you're absolutely right. But this game, it's like it was a mixture of the Titans were awesome, the Warriors were bad and lethargic, but the Titans were awesome and did ice those opportunities. And it does provide context to collaborate the two of them to say, I think the Tigers game actually shows us now, not back then. Ooh, not last week were we thinking this. But I think now it coincides to say that we are on the up and this is a good trajectory and we just need to be confident within ourselves, the team, which was my point of emphasis on how to win this game. I said the point of emphasis was that we just need to believe in ourselves because we have a good enough team here. We do, and that's how we won.
100%, man. One of the most popular questions we get on this podcast is, who do we need to sign? What changes do we need to make? And this is evidence that we don't really need to go out and sign someone. Like, if a quality player becomes available, of course we look at them. Of course we sign them, like a Carter Gordon, right? But we don't look at our roster now and go, we are so inferior, we must chase signings. And we probably have done that in the past around that 2013, 2014-ish era, I would say. And it was fair back then.
Up until recently. I'd still say up until the last couple of years.
Yeah. And on the Tigers game, like, we had 4 line breaks in the first 10 minutes. If we convert those opportunities in a more precise, like we were against the Warriors, we're up minimum. Like, you know, JC didn't miss a goal last game. So let's say we're up 24-0 there. That's a whole different game from there. So the precision was what really pleased me the most.
Mate, at the function last week, we were saying, I know this is going, we can't remember last week, but it is similar, and that's why we're talking about it,
yeah.
Is that at the function last week, we were all under the same thought process. Also, shout out Chris Nell. He was in Japan this week. He's never allowed to come back to a game ever again because every time we win, he's not there, but he was there in Sydney last week. We love you, Nelly. I know you're probably listening. We love you, but you're banned. I know you're head of membership and whatnot, but you're banned. You can give everyone else memberships, not yourself, buddy. All right? Not yourself. But everyone at that function was under the collective agreement that we should have won that game by 50. Well, we've gone the next week and we have won by 60 with the exact same kind of performance, just icing the opportunity. So they are the exact same.
100%. Nelly, do the responsible thing, mate. Self-exclude. Don't worry, though. There is a place on my couch with a cold beer waiting for you.
Yeah, you can go to the city. You just can't go to the game. You can go to the city, just not to the game.
The head of membership wasn't able to be here today, guys, because unfortunately when he's here, we lose. So that's a positive. That can be Steve Mitchell's opening address. Look, the outcome of this game, I suppose it's the elephant in the room. Let's address it. Part of it was the Warriors being very poor, and we shouldn't get too carried away because even if we play to that level, we're not going to beat every team by 60 every week. It's literally not possible, right? Even the Panthers didn't do it when they won three in a row. But the great news to come out of that is, if we execute that game plan as well as we did, or even slightly worse, we can and will compete and give ourselves a genuine opportunity to beat every single team in this competition, including the likes of the Penrith Panthers and the Melbourne Storm. Guys, I know I'm getting real controversial in this segment, but I believe it to be true. The way we play will not always result in winning by 60 points, but it will result in us being a genuine chance to win every single game. We had belief. We stuck to the process. We made a few errors and overcame that adversity, and we remained firm with the game plan. Kieran Foran was a huge part of that. I loved his leadership out there. I liked the win. I loved the win. But what I loved most about it, Blaze, and you touched on this as well, just want to add an extra bit to it, we went on with it in the second half. Now, as Titans fans, dude, we are so used to, like, I'm just thinking, like, we go up 20-0 at halftime, and then we're the sort of team that'll win at 30-28. And we leave the game and we go like, oh, great first half, but God, we only just got away with it that time. Like, and we're not even sure if it's a positive. Like, we're also saying we just got away with it. And the first half was good. Or we go, that first half was atrocious. The second half was good.
I think the only game that differs from what you're saying is the Cowboys game, because there was excuses and there was context to that where we had lost all these players just in the second half, and the Cowboys came rocketing home. Outside of that, we felt extremely relieved and very proud and positive of the game. But 100% in regards to other games, yes.
Yeah, man, 100%. And I'm just so proud that we played out the full 80. That is genuinely one of the greatest Titans performances throughout our history. Like, I know when you think greatest performances, usually you go to overcoming adversity, maybe a field goal win when you weren't expected to win. And we've had some beauties over the years. But in terms of just sticking to the process and playing for the full 80 minutes, that was a really, really special week in our club's history, and I loved it.
I will re-emphasize this for everybody. We were $4.50 underdogs to win this game. That's by 1 point. We were $4.50. That's a massive. The Warriors were $1.22. To make it understandable for everyone, $1.22 means if you put $100 on the Warriors to win, you win $122. So you win $22 itself and the money back. If you put $100 on the Titans to win, you would have won $450, so an extra $350. That's to tell you how much the bookies didn't believe in us. Now, not only did we win by one, we won by 60 points. So we would have won with a minus 59.5, a handicap, which is just insanity. It is absolutely insanity. So this is the best win of our entire history. It is. You know, I don't care about, like I do care, but I don't care about all the previous, because we broke records. We were completely facing adversity in the fact that we had all three of our best front rowers gone in this game. Three of them, plus Cleese has been so good this season so far. You know, we've had all these players out. I know the Warriors had a couple of players out with Origin, but realistically, they should have absolutely whooped us, but they did not. So to go and double down what Clarkie said here is that, yes, we do need to realise this is one game, but also look at the similarities between the last two games, not the Rabbitohs game, forget that. But look at the similarities there and realise this is actually a trajectory. So the Rabbitohs game throughout this entire season, well, after round four, the Rabbitohs game is the outlier. That's the one outlier out of the entirety of this season so far, really, because the first three, four games, they were all in the same little circle. They were all jammed together. And then since those games, everything else is exact same except for the one outlier, the Rabbitohs. So I don't look too heavily at that Rabbitohs game. And I say, I reckon maybe the Rabbitohs just showed they were just good on that day. I don't think that was too much of a of an us thing. I do think that it brings it into context.
Yep, and the Rabbitohs have gone on to not lose since that game. They've got four in a row. And as we pointed out after that Rabbitohs loss, even the best sides like the Panthers lose to the Warriors unexpectedly at Magic Round, or the Sharks, who are second or third right now, they go and lose 42 points nil. The Storm, they lose to the Sharks at home when they only have Daniel Atkinson as their half. Even the best clubs have blips on the radar, guys. So there's nothing to take away from us in that regard. We have been consistent since that round four mark in most aspects, just not 100% consistent. And that's part of a developing side. I'll repeat it one more time, guys. There is so much to love about this football team moving forward, despite how dejected we were last week mainly. Even if we don't win as many games this year as we won last, we are going to be in such a better place come 2025. And I will be predicting us to play finals next year. Oh, I will say it right now, even though there's still 10 or 11. Oh, I don't want to go as high as top four, but I can't feel 100% confident about that. But I can genuinely say I'm 100% confident we play finals somewhere within the top eight next year. And I really do believe that. I'm not just bluffing when I say that. Let's go to our 3-2-1s, mate. I'll let you go first, even though I already know your 3-2-1s because we do a Dally M post together on my page. But I think you might have actually made an adjustment since that point. So who gets your 3 points from this game?
Mate, I could have adjusted 34 times to who I've gone by 3-2-1s here because there were so many. And we have gone the same three amongst the three, but you know, there is absolutely a great deal of shout-outs that we're going to have to do as well, specifically to one player. My 3 points, I am going to go with Kieran Foran. I am going with the Boz. I thought that I originally had Keanu here. I originally always had JC in that two spot. I'm just kind of ruined my 3-2-1s now. I've just kind of ruined the 3-2-1s. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. I'm going to read through it now. So I have my Kieran Foran as three, Keanu King is three, and then switch those two. And I always had JC there, but then JC has every right to be there too. So I've been on an absolute wavelength trying to find this one. But I did decide to go with Kieran Foran in the end because I just think that not only was he offensively unbelievable, had like four try assists in this game. Absolutely wrecked where that Storm guy was on your post saying that Jerome Hughes should have been, was better than Foz, which just simply wasn't true.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it just simply wasn't true. Apparently beat him in every stat, he said, not true at all. Foz had four try assists, four line break assists. He was absolutely superb defensively as well. Like, I don't want to just look at the attacking numbers. It goes back to that game against the Cowboys, I think it was, where Foz just would make try-saving tackle after try-saving tackle, and that's what he's done again here in this game. So it's unfortunate they didn't get on the score sheet. I think he really did deserve to be on the score sheet. But with that being said, he assisted a great deal of times on that score sheet. So yeah, big shout there to the big Foz.
Absolutely. Look, because you've already gone into detail for your 3-2-1, so you just want to go through and roll who got your two and who got your one?
Yeah, I may as well. Also, another thing, Kieran Foran, 17 tackles, no miss. Just want to remind you of that. Number two, Jaden Campbell. I think that he was absolutely fantastic. There's no way that anybody could say he didn't have a great game and could argue that he could be with that 3 points there. The only reason why I didn't give him the 3 points is because he did nearly have a 50% tackle efficiency. So he had seven missed tackles in this game with his 20 tackles, which, again, that's the only negative that you can pinpoint there. But also we found out that he's had a broken hand since like the first minute of the game or a fractured hand of some sort in the first 4 minutes. So it does make a little bit more sense there. But how good was he? Absolutely phenomenal. Four tackle breaks, had a line break, he had two line break assists, he had three try assists. That one for Kinna Palacio was so strong, which we'd love to see there at JC. So he'll get my 2 points, and my 1 point does have to go to Special K. Keanu Kenny, just what is he? You know, this guy's a freak. He really is. He's an absolute freak. He's so humble as well, which we love to see. That try that he broke away for going down the northern end to see us late on in the game was just fantastic. The little inside ball there from Foz. Scored two tries in the game, ran for 249 metres, which was the most in the game. Three line breaks, but also tries his six tackle breaks. He is providing us a significant conundrum to what we do because AJ Brimo, the Brimdog millionaire, Daddy Brimdog, posted on his story the other day. I did laugh about this with him after the game where he said, "I'll back to the centres I go."
Yeah. Well, I think Brimo is aiming to return for the Sharks game, which Sharks JC game, yeah. will be out of. So Brimson would naturally slot to six in that one. And then we've got the big question next week when JC's back for the Eels at home.
But they do that. Do they do that? And I guess we'll speak more in depth about this next week when we have the team list and whatnot. But also, do they do that? Because like Tanner is still there, and they may go with Tanner rather than going with AJ off of injury into that sixth role to partner with Kieran. Because Tanner, when he was healthy, actually started to do some really good stuff. And also, with JC gone, who kicks that? Who's our converting kicker? So that's exactly. a big thing. We can talk about this after we do our 3-2-1s. But they're my 3-2-1s. I'll give a shout-out to someone. We know who it is once you go through yours.
My 3 points is Jaden Campbell. Look, he broke our club record. And why that makes me so happy and proud and just fulfilled as a Titans fan is his dad, in my eyes, is our greatest player of all time, Preston Campbell. That's why we have a grandstand named the Preston Campbell Stand. So his dad's the biggest club legend, and his son, a second-generation Titans player, now holds the record for the most points in a single game. Incredible history. I just love it so much. I just love it. I don't even know how to say how much I love it, but I do. I really love it. 2 points, Kieran Foran, and four tries, this incredible defense, and just an immense level of composure about his game. Just so important to our team, and we really need him to go around for another season to be
a mentor. Sorry to interrupt you, but on Kieran Foran, I just want to throw it out there. He has received so much hate of late. Like, he has received so much hate of being too old, too slow, and honestly, he's too good, baby. Like, and I put this up, the haters have gone super quiet, man, on Kieran Foran because, man, this guy doesn't deserve the amount of hate that he does get sometimes. And honestly, I'll always back this man in. He puts his absolute soul on the line for this club. I am very close with him and his partner, and I will always defend them because it is absurd the amount of disrespect that Kieran Foran has gotten recently, that he's just too old when you've seen that he is not. We've seen this game here, he's absolutely crushed it.
100%. He's been one of our best and most consistent players in every game he's played this year. Without Kieran Foran, it all crumbles. He is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw what it's like without Kieran Foran in round one against the Dragons. Just didn't work out for us at all there. My 1 point goes to Keanu Kinney. Live wire at the back. Brilliant spark, brilliant attack, always there around the footy and hunting for opportunities throughout the full 80 minutes. Really, really proud of Keanu and the form that he's been in these past 3 weeks. Great purple patch of form. And for the player you're going to give a shout-out to, Blazer, I was actually thinking before, you know, the Maroons have Kurt Capewell coming off the bench, right? He averages 55 metres this year. I just wish for the Maroons' sake they had a player that broke 8 tackles, had 3 offloads, ran 200 metres and has otherwise been in brilliant form this year. I just wish we had a player like that, right?
He's great. Fun fact, that is one of the players, wasn't the player that I was thinking about, but also does deserve a massive shout out there in David Fifita. He was incredible, man. You just can't stop the guy. The guy that I was mainly referring to, though, was the one that, you know, didn't score one try. He didn't score two tries. He didn't score three tries. He scored
four
tries, man. Four tries. And to go back on what you said before, the moment I knew we'd won that game, and this is crazy because we're up 30-0 at the time. We're up 30-0 and we still don't know if we've won the game. Thanks, Gold Coast. Was when Lofty had that intercept. When Lofty had a calm prayer, I got that intercept and broke away. If you guys watch the vlog, on that try, he's at the 10 and gets the intercept, gets to the 40 on our side of the field, and I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, there's no way he gets 40. He's done. So I turned around and looked directly at a Warriors fan and saluted him. 60 metres. I literally looked him in the eye and saluted them because they were doing a bit of yapping and whatnot. And then I think they left like 5 minutes later, to be fair. Very, very funny there. So, yeah, Lofty deserves it. Also thought that I don't think he missed a tackle. He didn't. Oh, sorry. He did miss a couple of tackles. But with that being said, didn't concede a try on his wing. So a lot of the time he does cop a little bit of flack and justifiably so at times. But this is not a game that you could be giving him any flack. He was just absolutely incredible. And like you said, David Feeder also... Kieran Palacia, he had a great game. That's his first great game. And he is very self-aware. And he said on the vlog at the end, he's like, oh, I'm just glad I couldn't, you know, pull my finger out. And it's like, it's great that he was aware of that, man, because, you know, we love him. And we love that he's here. Just need to see him return that Broncos form. And honestly, he did.
Yeah, 100%. I think Keenan is a guy that next year, once he's got all of our systems and processes down pat, and with other stars like Tino, Jolliffe and all those blokes returning, he probably will go to a new level. But yeah,
it's good. Tino's a new signing for Dez. Tino is a new signing for Dez.
Essentially is. Yeah, man. Look, you could shout out the whole team realistically. I do love that story about saluting the Warriors fan. That's iconic. You know, like when Michael Jordan took the, he said, I'm going to close my eyes for this free throw, and took the free throw and he still got it.
Yeah.
That's on level with that. That is awesome, mate.
So just imagine for 60 meters watching as the opposition, who are last, mind you, also another stat, the team in the last five rounds, I think, has actually won their game, which is a crazy stat. But yeah, so just imagine you're down 30-0 for last in a game with all your fans in attendance. You're ready to pop up and have a great time in beautiful sun on the Gold Coast. You can see this white run down the field and make a 36-0, and you look down and there's just some big Titans fan just saluting you. The whole 60.
That's like a poem visualized, a poem in motion. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, mate. I might have
wish cried someone had a video of from up there. That would have been so fun.
And I wish someone put the Titanic music in the background and you like slow motion motioning with the salute. And then it just cuts to Luffy in slow motion, just getting down the field. Amazing. Don't forget, guys, for our Frontline's Finest Leaderboard, we are keeping count. It's behind closed doors and we will award a real physical medal to the Frontline's Finest at the end of this year. And with that, we move to the affiliates recap. Unfortunately, our former feeder club, the Bears, do thump Tweed 56 points to 14. I think Tweed are really hurting with our injury toll at the moment at NRL level and not getting as many top 30 players available to them that we thought they might at the start of this year. Look, they were only down 14-8 at halftime, but then the Bears did dominate in the second half through the experience of their NRL players. Tommy Weaver did make his return, though, Blaze. How did he go?
Yeah, look, Tommy is back. He's ready to rock and roll from his injury. 12 runs for 72 metres, 2 tackle breaks, has 17 tackles with just a 3 missed. Unfortunately, did get sin binned in this game, gave away a penalty and 2 set restarts as well as an error. So, look, it was his first game back after an injury. He's trying to work as hard as he possibly can to get back in. I love all the love that we're seeing for our youngster there in Tommy Weaver, but, you know, it's important. How does Tommy Weaver get back in? Everyone last week was like, oh, Tommy Weaver must be in. He has to be there. We're going to win 66-6, and this is a reiteration and a re-emphasis for all the fans out there, is that sometimes, you know, things change very, very quickly. Things change very, very, very quickly. They're building towards it. Desi is building this team. So I know this is kind of going back to the Titans game, but Tommy Weaver's got to work real hard, man, and we know he can do it, but, geez, good luck to him.
Yeah, 100%. And for Tommy, I think he would know that's not his best game, but it was his first game back from an injury that he pushed. Like, he should not have returned against the Knights realistically, but he put his body on the line for our club. So absolute respect to Tommy. He's still young. Yeah, you're right. And look, I think he'll be absolutely fine and how he comes back from that. No concerns for me at all. Unfortunately, though, Tweed do fall to 12th on the ladder and the Jets are still last. This round at 10 past 2 p.m. on Sunday, the Dolphins host our Tweed Seagulls in Redcliffe. That game will also be on KO and Nine now, if you want to watch them go around. And then later that day at 3 p.m., the Jets are at home against the PNG Hunters. Now, Tweed's run home. I had a look, Blaze. At this stage, they only play 3 sides currently in the top 8. So they do have a great chance to play finals. But for me, I think it is kind of getting into the now or never territory. You know, this is a side that we want to see at least 5th so we get a home final, right?
Yeah, 100%. We definitely want to see this to get a home final. Hopefully that means we could actually go down for it, you and me both. But yeah, look, it's obviously starting to look really difficult. At this point, we did expect a lot more from Tweed this season, but it hasn't necessarily panned out because, again, the Titans have had to absolutely drill Tweed for talent. You know, bringing up guys like Jacob Alekwenki, bringing up guys like Tommy Weaver. Keanu Kenny was not expected to be, you know, here the entire time. He's supposed to be a Tweed for a lot of the part of this season, but obviously now he potentially could be our number one fullback. You just don't know. So, yeah, they've been gutted for talent throughout the year, and Tommy Weaver's been out too, but now it's good to see him back. Need to go on a run now.
100%. And so, yeah, just to add context to what you said, the Tweed Seagulls affiliated Titans that we probably expected to be there this year would have been Jacob Arlick. Oscar Bryan has been there. Jaden Campbell at stages potentially. Isaac Fa'asuamalawi has been there at times. Jojo Fifita, we would have expected him. Tony Francis. Cleese Haas at times. Maybe Brian Kelly at times when we still had Aaron Schopp. Keanu Kinney, that's a huge one. Kenan Palacia, Tommy Weaver, and Ryder Williams. So we really haven't had the full complement. I think even if you add four of those blokes there, like that Tweed side fundamentally changes and becomes a lot stronger. So that is something we need to consider absolutely when we say it's been a disappointing season, but we haven't had a full complement like we did when we were with Burley last year. We had players, you know, like Tony Francis leading the comp for tries, etc. All right, guys, unfortunately, we will not be previewing next round because we have a bye. So let's enjoy the free 2 points. Look, finals not fully out of the equation, but I think that we're still a fair bit off. So I don't want to get too excited.
Wait a second. I know we're going to go through this quickly, but I'm going to give some positivity here. You negative Nancy.
You Clarkie's a negative Nancy. Get it trending.
So we're in 15th right now with 12 points, which is equal with the Tigers in 16th with 12 points. We also had a massive win against the Raiders on the weekend, mind you. And then the Eels, the Bunnings Wheels, they are in last place right now with 12 points. Their fans giving me grief all throughout this year. How are you feeling? Our points differential was helped dramatically by this. We've gone to minus 71, which is actually not too bad anymore. We're better than the Raiders already. You know, we've got better form against the Raiders in 10th. But so the Tigers, they play the Roosters this week. I can't see them beating the Roosters. The Eels, they play the Knights this week. I could see a world where they beat the Knights in Newcastle, but I'd probably still favour the Knights. Oh, no, I probably would go the Eels. So even if they win, they would have to win by over 50 points to go above us, which I can't see happening in the Hunter. The Knights are at the kind of last chance season as well. So this is, I just want to reiterate, people, we are currently 3 wins out of 8. So we're on their Cowboys, Broncos, Bulldogs, Dragons, and Raiders are all on 18 points. Right, the Cowboys, Dragons, and Raiders are all with negative points differentials. Right, so we are on 12 with minus 71, but we'll have these 2 points. And those three, actually, every single one of those teams has a game they play this week. Raiders play the Storm, Dragons play the Dolphins, Cowboys play the Panthers, and the Broncos have to take on a Warriors team that are hurting, and the Dogs take on the Sharks. So there's some tough matchups there. So we get those 2 free points. If we can beat the Sharks, mate, I'll put us back in the hunt. I think if we beat the Sharks in Coffs in 2 weeks, it puts us back in the hunt because I'm telling you, there is a lot of potential here. We're not going to go above the Rabbitohs because they have a bye, but our points differential is better than theirs as well, mind you, guys. So I think for us, it comes down to the game against the Sharkies at Coffs. If we win that, we're on here. We are on here. If we lose it, we're off and let's just avoid that last place. But something to remember for people, 2009 Eels, they were in last place at this point of the season with a big gap to collapse. And they did. They got to the grand final. And in 2023, with the Knights? The Knights, I think, was second last, round 16, and ended up getting into the second week of the finals. And were one of the, they went on like a 10-game win streak. So it can be done. I know it is very, this is a change of thought process very quickly after one game. But you've got to still maintain that energy and feel confident that we can do it. Because I can tell you right now, these boys still believe they can make the eight. They still believe it. So let's go and do it.
Yeah, look, I still maintain the belief and I think we can. But I also just am erring on the side of caution because I know it is difficult to recover.
Don't go crazy thinking like it's a guarantee. Like I'm not telling everybody like we're going to make the eight. I'm telling you there's a reality to it all. But also keep one eye open on this perspective because that one eye could actually open up true. But we need to beat the Sharks.
Yeah, so I'm going to go a little bit further than that. I think we need to beat the Sharks, Eels, and Seagulls. But we need to get on a 3-game run there. I think if we win those three, 4-game run, including the Warriors, sorry. One of those is at home with the Eels and the other's Manly, who we did beat at their home ground last year. So I don't think we fear that venue too much.
We do beat Manly quite a bit down there, Brookie, and also we only lost by 2 points to them controversially at Seabus this year.
Exactly right, mate. And so that would give us a 4-game winning streak where we go into a rival fortnight where we verse the Dolphins at Suncorp, who we've never beaten before, but we have performed very well at Suncorp earlier this year, and then we return home against the Broncos. That's, you know, if we win one of those 2 games because they are big rivalries to us, then we're in the hunt for those final home game stretch. But still a fair bit to play out on the ladder. But certainly we're both holding belief and praying for a result. Alrighty, mate. Phone the frontline time if you guys want to be featured in this segment. The link to do so is in this show description on podcast players and on YouTube. You can leave us an audio message. It is as simple as tapping record with your phone and talking into your phone as if you're on a phone call. From there, you can leave that message anonymously or you can leave your name for us to give you a shout out. Our first one today, Blaze, came in 22 hours ago. It's 13 seconds long and it is anonymous. We will play it now.
Boy, how's it going to feel when the Titans lose to the my mighty mother Sharkies, mate? Up, granola.
Get off the peptides. This next one's anonymous as well, 15 seconds long.
Hey, guys. So I think the Titans game from the weekend has ruined my love life because my future wife is going to have to live with the fact that my wedding's the second best day of my life because I don't think there's a single thing that can top that feeling.
I love that guy. I want to marry that guy, actually. Forget his wife.
Well, at least you'll be understanding as the wife. At least you'll be understanding. Interesting that you've taken the wife role already, however. So you've decided that. But look, I think that I will disagree. Do you know why?
What have you got?
Well, mate, when we win the premiership, you think you're going to be thinking about the Warriors 66-6? I'm going to be thinking we've just whooped the entire competition, and we're going to be in Sydney. I'm not surviving that night. I'm just throwing that out there to everybody. Not surviving the night that is the grand final that we win. And also, I think the only thing, like I absolutely agree with him, the only thing that I could see as better than what we experienced at Seabus or just at home on Saturday would be to win our first finals game since 2010 because we have only won one finals game in our entire history, and that was against the Warriors. Fun fact, another shot in the dark there, another bullseye against the Warriors. Our only win in the finals game was against you guys in 2010. But yes, that those two, the grand final is number one, but also winning our first finals game will be surreal.
Oh, mate, I don't want to think that sexual on this podcast, if I'm honest. That will be a beautiful, beautiful day.
Mate, you've just told us that you're going to marry this dude. You just told us. You know what happens that night in the marriage, mate. So, and you've already assumed that you're the female. So,
let's swiftly move on before we get cancelled. This next one comes from... Yeah, 18 plus. All right, this next one's from Brody Townshend, and it is 9 seconds long.
What do we do with the fullback 5-8 situation, especially after Brimson comes back from injury? Yeah, cheers.
Good question, Brody. I reckon, man, to start, let's either move Brimson back to centre or, 14's too disrespectful for a rep player. I think let's put him back at centre for a game or two, get that match fitness, see how he looks. And if he really looks disinterested and we're not getting enough out of him, then look to either put him to 5-8 and Jaden Campbell to 14 or vice versa, him to fullback and Keanu Kinney to 14. But I do think for that first fortnight, Brimo should, what's the word I'm looking for? He should take one for the team and just move to center for a period just to get that match fitness back up and then be ready to go for one of his main positions. How do you view it?
Yeah, this is one that I feel like we'll have to go even more in depth with what we see after Brimo. Well, to be fair, even if Brimo does get selected next week, we won't have JC, so that means that we won't have the full picture there anyway. There is always – so the different options, Keanu 1, JC 6 – oh, sorry, actually, I'll leave that for last, right? So there's the option of AJ 1, Keanu 14, and JC 6. Or there is the option of AJ 6, Keanu 1, and also JC is potentially like a 14, right? Which I don't think is going to be the case. Or there's the option of Kieran Foran doesn't re-sign, and which I think he will, but there's the option of JC going to the 7, AJ staying in the 6, and then obviously Keanu going to the 1, but then you have to factor in Carter Gordon into the equation as well. And I think obviously a lot of people are kind of past the Tanner Boyd, but in the same sense, very good depth there, right? But then there's also this extra option here that people don't really talk about. That is potentially, remember how we always spoke about maybe AJ could be a 13? Maybe it could be a 13 there. We don't have a spot locked up there. Cleese has been doing some really, really good stuff. He can't push to the back row, so it would be actually a battle between him and Cleese, because Isaac Lee would be finishing up by the end of the year. Also, shout out to Isaac. What a game he had on the weekend. Definitely that front flip, back flip, whatever he did, front flip was amazing to see. But there is the option of maybe going with like a Cleese starting 13 and AJ kind of being that floater for everywhere, but also a smaller 13.
Yeah, it's an option. And Mal Meninga, an immortal and the current Kangaroos coach, when he was with us, he actually said he believes Brimson's best position will be hooker. And he wanted our coaches to trial him there. But none of our coaches, mainly Justin Holbrook at the time, did. But if you guys remember the World Nines event around then, AJ actually did play hooker for Australia in the World Nines that we won. So a little bit of experience there. I think AJ is like a Kurt Mann or...
He's way better than Kurt Mann, though.
No, I'm not comparing them as players. I'm just comparing them in the sense that they're victims of their versatility. Connor Watson, that's the one I was looking for, where they can play every position. So people naturally look at them to the bench because it's great to have that versatility, like Sean Berrigan throughout history, Craig Wing, Jason Croker from the Raiders back in the day. Naturally, people go and look at AJ as he could be 14 because he can cover anywhere. But the reality is, whether he's playing center, fullback, 5'8", potentially even hooker or lock, he's more than good enough to be a starter in majority of the sides in this competition. So
I think AJ has to start, though. He has to start. Like, I don't see him being a bench. Like, you couldn't look at a 17 and look at AJ Brimson in a 15, 16, or 17, or even a 14. I couldn't see that. So it's such and we said this, I think, early this year, maybe late last year on this podcast, where this could be a blessing for us that we've got such good depth and such good amount of fullbacks and players in this team, but also it could be a negative because if you don't fit them all in, you have to lose one of them and you want to make sure you lose the right one. You want to make sure that if you're losing JC, but it better be the right decision, and AJ and Keanu must be the two guys to go forward with. The same thing with Keanu instead of JC. And AJ, same thing with AJ, but AJ's here until 2030, so he's not going anywhere. He will be a starter. So it comes down to JC and Keanu there. So they need to fit AJ in somewhere, Keanu fit somewhere, JC somewhere. Otherwise, we will lose one of JC or Keanu, and that's a scary predicament. But also, we just need to figure it out.
I agree, and I guess I'll finish on these two points. Number one, if AJ does come back and right away he's in the fullback, Keanu Kenny just has to understand there is a natural pecking order at our club and in the NRL. Example, Sualavi Fa'alongo looks incredible for the Storm, but the moment Ryan Papenhuyzen was fit, Ryan Papenhuyzen walked straight back into that side, and he's not an Origin player. AJ Brimson is an Origin player there.
I will say, in regards to Keanu, I know Keanu well. I'm very close with Keanu and his family, and I will say that he is the type of guy that just wants to win with the Gold Coast. He is very, very patient. If he wasn't selected to start in the one, I do think that he would understand. And his dad, Mike, great bloke, man. You know, he pushes him, you know, and he tells him, you haven't done anything yet. You haven't done anything just yet. You've got to keep on moving. You know, just this one game or these couple of games doesn't really mean anything unless you're consistent with it. So, I think that Keanu's got a great head in his shoulders, man. I think that if anything was to happen, he would be okay sitting on the side just for a little bit to focus it up. But we do need to have a good plan for him long term.
Agree.
Because I'm and sure actually, the Storm have a plan for Sualavi Fa'alongo.
And that kind of is my final point as well. At the moment, we have three very good fullbacks. But so did the Melbourne Storm post-Billy Slater era. Jerome Hughes transitioned to be a halfback. Scott Drinkwater transitioned partially to become a 5'8 before returning. And Nicho Hynes transitioned from a fullback to a halfback. So, yes, at the moment we have a depth issue where we have too much depth at fullback, but there's nothing to say that AJ can't transition to a halfback or Kinney and Jaden can't transition to 5'8". So we're in a predicament where it's better to be in than better to not be in, if that makes sense. Let's go to this next one, mate. A friend of the podcast, Brody Camp. This is 22 seconds.
Boys, how much difference a week can make, eh? I only got one question for the both of you. Now, we know that the premiership muscle of the Titans was flexed over the weekend. But what we really want to know is how much muscle was flexed. Because I don't think it was just one year's worth of premiership muscle. I saw a whole dynasty's worth there. I'll leave it to you guys.
Oh, it's tough to put it. See, because premiership muscle being flexed, it's not like a Richter scale or, you know, it's not a measurement of 0 to 100. It's just something that has existed on the Gold Coast and always has. But look, if I had to put it in terms of a measurement commonly used in, like, you know, the imperial system or anything like that, I'm just trying to break down the quantum physics behind it. Let's say it's on a Richter scale. That scale is broken. Like,
it's broke. It's gone.
If the little dial, it's just bomb.
I'm thinking, if I was to put it into words, mate, I'm thinking it proved that the scale is at least two premierships by 2030 for both the men's and the women's.
I love that. Look, premiership muscle was...
Shout out to Stevie Mitchell.
it was flexed so hard, Brody, and it's hard to say how hard it was flexed. It's not hard to say. It's just hard to put into words. It was a flexing in the proportions and the likes of we have never seen before on the coast.
I thought I was watching 13 Hercules on the field on Saturday. I thought Hercules was out there. We had Zeus there. Yeah. I can see, you know, like in Star Wars where you have the clouds or whatever, or you look up the sky and you see those four people. Like, I'm thinking, like, I was seeing, like, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Keanu Kinney, and even though he's playing, he's also up there. And then, you know, then also Sergio Aguero, Messi. You know, those are the greatest players of all time. You can just see them up there. So that's how I would kind of put it into words.
Only thing I'm disappointed about this game is the fact the NRL didn't let us strip off our shirts and play shirtless just to show the world that muscle, that premiership muscle. That would have been appropriate.
There was one invader off of the pitch at the end of the game, though. I think he was just so consumed by the premiership muscle that he just couldn't contain it and ran out of the field.
Speaking of an example of the premiership muscle that was shown, do you remember when that female streaker went on the coast and the security guard absolutely hammered her and Mitchell Moses
It was right in front of me. It was right in front of the front line.
That security guard, the premiership muscle he's shown in that hit, that's what we've shown for 80 minutes against the Warriors. It was incredible. Mate, we should do up some merch. Premiership muscle hats, the player's name on the side, the date and the score, and get every player to sign it and raffle them off for charity or something. I don't have the means to do that. If anyone listening has the means to create that merch for us so Blaze can take it to training and get it signed, we will absolutely raffle those things off for charity. And you would have a piece of premiership history that the likes of which the world may never see again. Very, very special day for our club. All right, mate, we are approaching that 1 hour mark, but let's listen to one more voice message. This one's from Matt Sherrison. It goes for a minute and a half.
Boys, 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 how good was that win? 66-6. It's just unbelievable. I'm going to watch the game again tomorrow. Anyway, I feel so happy for both you guys, especially you, BKR, going to every game there and away, that we finally got that win. You must have just been so happy having a win at home full of Warriors fans. It's amazing. I watched your YouTube video. Struggle is real. And I've thought my whole life watching the Titans, you know, since they started, that, you know, we're the most hardest team to support, and I've always been there, highs and lows, and one day, exactly like you said, there's going to be no bigger party when we finally get that premiership. I remember a couple of years ago when we didn't win for like 365 days or whatever. And as soon as Sami got a try, like last couple of minutes, I actually cried. Like, that's how passionate I am. You are. We all are. Much love, boys. Let's go.
Let's go, Matty. Thanks for sending that in, man. Yeah, on that game, I grabbed my dog at the time. And I was jumping up down, screaming, "We are the champions." We certainly weren't, but we won a game, and that's all that mattered at that stage, man. That was an emotional day. But Matty, love it, mate. Love your passion. Love that you've been here for ages with the Titans and that you ride the highs and lows like we do here in the front line, mate. And, just messages like that really sum up how much it means to everyone that our club was able to do this for us. the people that, you know, spend our hard-earned, spend our hours, our time, our energy, give everything to this club. They gave us so much happiness back. So it's a day I'll never forget. Really, really special stuff, mate. What are your thoughts on Matty's message?
Yeah, incredible, man. And this is a big reason as to what I say to everybody all the time. The footy is the face of it. It's the community that I care about. You know, obviously, at the end of the day, the players as humans and the players as guys, that's what we care about. You know, the fans who were there with us and understand the difficulties. Like I said, the hardest time of sport. It is the hardest time of sport. I know Tigers fans and whatnot, they all try and say. But I'm telling you that if you look deeper into it, we are actually more difficult to support because we've never won before. I'd say Warriors are actually kind of in that vicinity as well in some of the Eels, but we are down there, right? So it is incredible to be able to do this with everybody else. Like it can't be understated how much myself and Clarkie can't do it without you guys there, you know, supporting as strongly as you do. You know, there were so many people. I couldn't even get off the field. Actually, this is a fun fact. I couldn't get off the field. I'm just a normal guy, guys. I'm just a normal guy who enjoys rugby league and enjoys the Titans. I couldn't get up the field, people wanting photos with me. And I'm like, man, I'm a lad from Merrimack, you know? Like, all we do here, man, is just trying to keep your positivity up, be proud of where we're from, be proud of the community. And, yeah, it has been a really, really overwhelming experience. And yet that was just one win. Now, imagine what the community feels like when we're winning game after game after game. And this is why I say, there will be no party like on the Gold Coast. No party. The whole, from Coolangatta all the way up to Buddy Damwell Coomera, especially like Surfers and Broadie and Palmy go crazy. Like this place, you will not find a better place to party, and it will be AJ Bremo who's going to be leading the party. Doesn't matter that he's a daddy now. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be leading the drinks. He's going to be leading it, and we're going to be doing the craziest thing. Like, I wish the premiership, when the game was on, I wish that it was closer to the Gold Coast because it's like, it's going to be amazing to be there and I will obviously be there and the boys will be there, we'll all go crazy. But like the people on the Gold Coast, mate, you're going to have a good time. You're going to have a good time, man. So that's why I always say, keep the faith, keep the energy. We're here. We were here. We're all here at this time. And then one day there'll be a bunch of bandwagoners. But who gives a shit? Because they can join the party, which is going to make it even bigger, better, and the atmosphere is going to be wild. So much love to everybody. And I'm looking forward to our premiership at the end of this year.
100%. Well, maybe not 100%. But look, we've always been there and we always will be there. And that's the most important thing, guys. All right, we are fast approaching that hour mark. I think we're just over it now, so we will close the show right now. And, of course, we will see you next week to recap how our Origin players went, preview our game against the Sharks, and everything else in between. Thank you for sticking with us, Titans fans, and being here. We love that you love this show. We want to use it as a growth tool for not only the front line, but also the wider Titans community, and really use it as a vessel to share our love for this club because we know that you listening right now love it equally, and that's something really powerful. Blaze, speaking of love, mate, I love you. Sign us off with a zing.
Thank you, mate. Thank you very much. Yeah, guys, if like I do cut out at points throughout this episode and if the Wi-Fi looks a little bit shaky, it is because I'm in Fiji right now. I did decide to take a bit of a mental reset. I planned to do this after, I think, the Tigers game, and I said, nah, I'm going to go see my family and my daughter and whatnot because we had a bye after it. So I went to the Warriors game, mental reset, and the internet over here, it's not exactly fantastic, Mundo. So we do apologize about that, but we still want to get out some content for you. And yeah, look, obviously great to be a part of this club, this community, and we keep on fighting. Keep on fighting that good fight. Actually, just before we jump off here, who do we want to win this week? We want the, I would still say the Warriors, but the Broncos. I'd rather the Broncos drop down with us. I would say Knights versus Eels. We want the, I'd probably go the Eels to win just because it doesn't matter about that last place right now. I want to think about getting to the eight, and the Knights losing would actually help us. Next one, Manly got a bye. Who cares? Raiders lose the Storm, no brainer. Dragons lose the Dolphins, yeah, whatever. Cowboys lose the Panthers. Broncos to lose to the Warriors. There you go. And Bulldogs lose the Sharkies. That's the best kind of situation for us. But do you have anything to say before I jump off?
Only one thing, baby. We love it. Oh my god, that's our zing muscle right there.